From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans. This is the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum NBA preseason action. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. If you go to our updated site, BleedBlueShow.com, you can stream every episode live as we air, or you can get them on the archive episodes right on your smartphone, PC, and of course you can download all episodes on iTunes for your Apple devices, and of course Android, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps. Bumping up this episode a couple of hours early for obvious reasons, you know, without spilling it out there for the purposes. Going to be real quick. I like what I saw. I'm taking this thing game by game. I'm not going to overreact to a preseason game. I'm just going to analyze from what I saw on Monday. I like what I saw. The defense, you know, it's a work in progress. We already know that. But offensively, the way they attacked, they pushed the ball. I like what I saw. It was fun to watch. Kevin Knox looked good. Missed a couple of the first jumpers. Then he took it to the rag, and he had a couple of pull-up jumpers. And then after the half, he had a couple of three-pointers in the corner. We could talk about Mitchell Robinson coming into the game. I know he came off a little bit shaky early on, but then he had his presence felt with some defensive rebounds and getting under the skin under the Morris twin as well. But also, I was, you know, especially keeping a special eye out on Frank Ntilikina. He drove when he had to. He had a floater in the lane. He had an open floater. He opted to pass out. He missed the open jumper in the corner. We could go through all these Knicks one by one. At the body language of the head coach, I saw the communication between him and Emmanuel Mudiay. So we're going to talk about all that. I know the Knicks even have, as we air this episode, they'll have their second preseason game. But let's get the stakeholders on. Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. That would be Knickerbocker Avenue, our source for disputes for the New York Knicks. Av, what's going on, sir? How's everything?
Steve, good evening. Good evening. This is the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. We're talking the Knicks. You know, we're playing, we are playing tonight. The Knicks are playing the second preseason game, as you mentioned, over in Brooklyn against the Nets. It is a little bit difficult for the obvious reason. You know, we can't pay attention about the game in Brooklyn because we're all kind of looking at the game up in the Bronx. But that's neither here nor there. Go Yankees. I'm tuning to the dugout. We can talk about that later. Knicks preseason. First preseason game of the season. Overtime victory over the Washington Wizards. I'm kind of with you a little bit. I didn't like the pace. It was still a little bit methodical, but I guess it's like, you know, that's kind of a standard thing. That's to be expected for the first game in. I like the chemistry. I love the ball movement. What I did want to see more was more intensity on the defensive glass. They pretty much controlled the glass, for the first three quarters. From that fourth quarter, and little tidbits in the overtime, you can tell that they kind of let the Wizards bench into this game. They could easily have been put away, you know, midway through the fourth quarter. But you know that's a traditional preseason game. You saw a lot of guys that, you know, that were traditionally not going to be played. I mean, Fizdo went 17 deep into his rotation. I love what I saw from Knox. Trey Burke was, it's almost like pitching. He pitched a pretty good game. You know, it played his role. I did like the defensive intensity. They should step up a little bit more. I like that they were attacking the perimeter and trying to be, you know, somewhat of a deterrent for open shooters. I like how they were switching on the defense. The pressure that they applied, you know, pretty much for the first half. That's probably why that's the main reason why I feel that they won the half. A lot of nice things to see. Some things that, you know, that you still have ifs about. I don't understand how Noah Vonleh is thinking that he can be, putting the ball through his legs, trying to cross over a guy, then take a jump shot. It's like, you know, that's just, one of those situations that I found kind of weird. I really like what Alonzo Trier brings to the game. it's kind of a shame that he'd probably be the odd man out in that whole backcourt situation, because I mean we do have a crap load of guards. It was nice to see Ron Baker back on on the floor. I don't know if he still has a role in this team. I guess that'd be a question that we have to pose to the other stakeholders. And overall, I mean, I liked to the game Fizdale was. Obviously, he wanted to get, you know, he wanted to be involved in this game. He wanted to, you know, get some, you know, some momentum in, you know, heading into the regular season. And, you know, a good overtime victory, you know, never really quit, you know, kind of fought off the Wizards as much as they possibly can with their, with their second and third tier guys. And, I mean, that was basically it. Mitchell Robinson, to me, I think he did great. Hezonja kind of like, you know, showed us that, you know, that he might actually start to work out. I mean, that remains to be seen. This is only one game, but so far so good. I'm liking so far what I'm seeing. It's just, you know, there's just some things that they need to brush up on by the time opening tip off for against the Hawks.
Cool. Let's get the stakeholders on. Let's just introduce themselves, and then we're going to go back around and start with them, give their thoughts. Let's start with Dominic. Dominic, just say hello to the platform, and then we'll get to other guys, and then we'll start off with Dom. Dom, say hello to everybody.
Good evening, fellas.
Good evening to Dominic. Denardo DP. Channel Night Channel 7. Say hello to the people. Night Channel 7 on Twitter.
What's up, everybody?
All right, shout out to Chandler. I'm going to go to Mr. Live, man. Mr. Live, say hello to the people, man. How's everything?
Yeah, Nick's diehard was good.
All right, cool. Dominic, we'll start with you, but then we'll go back to Chandler and then Mr. Live and, of course, Knickerbocker Avenue and then myself. Dominic, if you watched the game on Monday versus the Wizards, tell us what you saw, what you liked, what you didn't like, any of the players.
The one good takeaway, guys, is some of the young guys actually stepped up. Again, preseason, you don't want to get your head in the vine. But between Knox, Robinson with his rebound, and here's a strange thing because I looked at the numbers before we started. Moutier didn't shoot well. Normally somebody goes in a funk when they don't shoot well, but he led the team in assists with 5. So, you know, he did what he had to do coming in as a point guard as far as, you know, getting people open, getting his assists. You know what? Maybe I'll have to shut up. Finally, 8 points, 3 for 5, 5 rebounds. I mean, he's a rebounding machine, guys. We know this. We'll see how he pans out. Nobody really shot outstanding. I mean, even Burke, 2 for 6, Hardaway, 3 for 8, which isn't bad for him. But Mario, 3 for 6, 5 rebounds, you know, in a good little stint, you know, in his open his spell with the Knicks. I think so far so good. And I'm going to stick to my guns that the Knicks are going to surprise some people this year. I know it's preseason, but I said this before preseason. But I think the mixture of that young talent, being hungry, tired of hearing the same old story about the Knicks, it's going to be interesting to watch. I mean, tonight's a tough day. I'm not entertaining, no basketball. Pretty sure most of y'all know why. I just can't wrap my head around it. It's too big of a deal going on in the Bronx. So I'm just going to sit still till 8 o'clock. Then I'll turn my TV on. But I'm not getting wrapped around no preseason basketball today, fellas.
All right, cool. Chandler, what's your thoughts? And then go to Mr. Live. Go ahead, Chandler.
Well, I mean, with Hezonja, I like what I saw. I saw what I thought I'd see. I didn't realize he was that pass happy. He needs to cut back on that a little bit and make smarter passes, but I like the fact that he is a willing passer. Defensively, it is what it is with him. You know, you really don't want him on the perimeter trying to guard anybody because they're going to eat him up. But he was at least trying to play defense, which is all you really can ask from a guy. Moutier still can't score at the rim. You know, I'm sick of seeing Emmanuel Moutier get to the rim and not score. I'm sick of seeing it. But everybody else, I like the fact that Robinson adjusted his approach in the game. You remember, I think it was the first couple of plays where he got pushed around because he wasn't being aggressive going for the rebounds, and he started being aggressive going for the rebounds. And even though he's slim, you know, if you're the aggressor going for the rebound, you won't get moved around. And he was much more active on the rebounds. Cantor still needs to run the floor better for me. But I like what I saw. Alonzo Trier needs to be on somebody's roster starting. That kid has some talent. He does. Somebody missed a boat on not drafting him. That kid needs to be playing for somebody if he ain't playing for us. Hopefully it's for us. But he needs to be playing for somebody, and I'm not talking about G League. He can play. You know, everybody else did about what I thought they'd do. Knox was Knox, and you know, we know the young man has talent. We know he can score. So seeing what I saw from him, when I was looking at other players, like I said, Hazonia, looking at Trier, looking at Mitchell Robinson, looking at Frank. Frank looks better. He looks a lot calmer. He looks a little more aggressive. I don't think we're ever going to see him as a huge scorer. Tim Hardaway Jr. jacking up stupid shots as usual. So what I saw, though, was a team that played hard, and I like that, and I like what I saw from some of the newer guys, and some of the guys that you know, have been doing the same thing, they're still doing the same thing. But outside of that, I think overall it was very successful.
All right, cool. Mr. Live, what's your thoughts? Thank you very much, Chairman. Mr. Live.
Right. What's good, everybody? Again, I'm saying to y'all one time. It's just one game, right? But for the most part, man, my favorite, the brother that I'm looking at the most is Mitchell Robinson, man. I believe that man is going to be a game changer, man. If, you know, everybody keep on saying, you know, it's almost like, you know, people watch too much ESPN with the, you know, he's raw and it's that and the third, but, you know, just like what the last brother said, he actually made adjustments on Mahimi, you know what I'm saying, for when Mahimi was molesting him, you know, his first couple of plays, you know, pushing him out the blocks, until where Coach Scott Brooks had to sink that Maurice going on the Morris going on, just to get him rattled, because he was all over the Wizards. He was blocking, he kept him out the plane, he was blocking shots, he was alley-ooping all over the place. You know what I'm saying? He's going to be a problem, man. And if he gets the minutes, man, dare I say, you know, in consideration for the defensive player of the year. That's how far I'm going to go. I don't believe in none of that roster. I believe whatever, you know, he might be wrong on his individual offense, but that man has great effort on the boards. He's an athlete. He's a gymnast when it comes to the ball around the rim. And he plays perimeter defense like I haven't seen in ages as far as the Knicks is concerned. So that's who I'm concentrating on now. We've seen Knox. Knox is steady, you know, and he's only going to get better. All right. Moutier surprised me. He was steady. He's an awful, awful. He's not, like, the gods have cursed him in the rim. He's right there, and that ball just will not go in for that man. So, but he ran the offense well, and he made other players better. That's our problem now, I believe. You know, Burke will start, and Burke can run the offense, but he's not a visionary. You know, so, you know, his vision is not better than Moutier's. You know, Frank, I'm done with, you know what I'm saying, I got a new nickname for him. That's Frankie Headlights. You understand what I'm saying? Frankie Headlights, I'm done with that guy. You know what I'm saying? I think he needs to go to the D League where they can eat his hiney up a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Get him out of that scaredness. Because he's 2 years from being 1 year away. Okay, he's not that guy, you know, and we keep on babying the guy, you know, because he's a fan favorite or whatever the case may be, but he's taking minutes from a brother like Trier, who was already there. You understand what I'm saying? And he's on the two-way now, but you know what I'm saying? Baker is gonna suffer for the Knicks picking Frank so high. Because they're not gonna chuck him in his 4.5, maybe. You know what I'm saying? And if it's not him, it's gonna be Dotson. It's gonna be one of them guys that gets, because Trier is gonna play this year. He might get one of them contracts, that unguaranteed joints that Burke got last year. Okay, so you know, so basically, it's what I saw was great, man. I like the energy, the playbook seems simplistic right now. you know, Hazonia is a horrible defender. So we don't need him out. You know, him and Cantor is the same man. You cannot play them dudes on any switch. You know what I'm saying? They are done. They're getting ate up. I like this Noah Vonleh. I wasn't mad at him. He was getting hit with fouls all over the place, but you know what I'm saying? I dug his athleticism. I dug his aggressiveness. And I just want to see him play a little bit more. Other than that, I was very excited, very, very pleased with what I saw. And I'm not a baseball fan, so I can't wait to what, you know, I got the game on record, so you know, I'm ahead to that as soon as we finish here.
All right, so shout out to Mr. Lai. He's referring to the second preseason game, Knickerbocker Avenue. Fair and form, Av, we're going to bring on the Sim, and then we'll bring on John out there on the left coast. But first, the Sim. Sim, your thoughts on the game, preseason game number one. We're taking this thing game by game. We're not going to get overly excited, but we're just assessing and observing what we saw on Monday. So, Sim, if you saw the game, what's your thoughts? And welcome back to the Knickerbocker Avenue Fair and Form, and then we'll get to John after that.
What's going on, Av? My brother Steve. Yeah, I saw the game Monday. I'm like you guys, cautiously optimistic. I'm not going to get overly excited that we won a preseason game. Not raining on the parade. The one thing that I will say that intrigued me, you've been saying for years, Steve, this team doesn't get out and run. We don't get enough fast break points. The fact that we had 24 fast break points in that game on Monday kind of shows the athleticism and the youth of this team. And if they can play enough solid defense and run, get out and run, they can get out and run with, some of the best teams that's out there. Also, I liked the way that they came out in the third quarter, and they didn't just go in the tank. They actually tied the game up and then took a lead in the third quarter. So that was an encouraging sign. All Knicks fans know the third quarter doom been killing us for the last 7-8 years consistently. So those are the two things that I really took from that game. The other stuff that I took from it, Robinson, very active. He's really a threat on those pick and rolls to catch the alley-oop, and it's opening up little pockets and spaces for the guards driving and for the kick-out. And just his activity on the glass, he got a couple offensive rebounds, and he also caused a couple of loose ball fouls that helped get the Wizards into the penalty early in the third quarter. And just from being active, so that was good. And I liked what I saw from Trier offensively. Still has to work on his defense, still has to work on his decision-making. But if you're one of the guys that could go get you a bucket on that second unit and attack the rim and hit an open shot, he's definitely that guy. I don't know if they're going to have room on the roster for him, but all in all, those were the things that I pretty much took from the game that kind of excited me a little bit. And I'm just looking forward to the game tonight to see how they build on their first game. This is not an official home game for us in the preseason, but you know how we do when we go to Barclays Center. It's like 75% Knicks fans and 25% Nets fans. So this is a home away from home game. So I'm just interested to see how these guys bounce back in their second game. And if they can keep the good fortune going, and they can build, and hopefully this will be another game that helps Fizdale narrow down who he wants to have in his rotation to start that first game against Atlanta.
Shout-outs to a Sim. Invisible Bully has checked in with us on the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. Let's get to John out there on the left coast. John, what's your thoughts on the Knicks preseason opener versus the Wizards? Then we'll go back to Knickerbocker Avenue, and then I'll chime in and then get the dialogue going, continuing on. Welcome back, John.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I mean, I think, the team is what I thought that they were going to be. And I think that for the first time in a while, we're getting to actually see a Knicks team with a lot of homegrown talent, or at least potential talent, and we can root for the team in a proper fashion, you know? I think, like, in the last, like, being a Knicks fan for a while, you know what it's like to see a bum team without a first-round draft pick, so without anything to actually show for it, right? I think this year we can actually sit back and watch the growing pains for what they are, right? I don't think it would be good for us to be a playoff team because it's not where we are yet. It would be nice, but what this team needs to do is they need to overcome their owner, right? So Dolan, we need to get enough young talent onto the team that we can overcome the fact that Dolan is the owner. And so any superstar out there is going to need to see a pretty rock-solid team of not just maybe another superstar there in Zingas, but also like a bunch of younger talent that is on contracts that are favorable that allow them to go out and sign one or two other guys too. And so I think that what we're seeing is that Knox is flashing. Mitchell Robinson is, the guy's not going to be a star, but if we get a second, you know, if we can pull a rotation player, a seventh or eighth man out of, you know, like a second round draft pick, a guy who's on a $1 million contract, that's big, big thing. So I think just what I'm enjoying is, you know, I don't think we're some great team. Nidalinka, I still regret that we didn't take Dennis Smith Jr. I'm not taking Donovan Mitchell because a lot of teams passed on him. I think not taking Dennis Smith Jr. was inexcusable. But I definitely like the direction we're going in. I think I'm hoping that we end up somewhere around a seventh or eighth pick. Porzingis comes back late in the season. We see him looking good. Knox, like, flashes. And we just have, like, an enjoyable rebuild season similar to what, like, the Lakers have done over the last 3 to 4 years where it was miserable for the fan base, but, like, over a slow period of time, you started to have enough homegrown guys to cheer for. And then you're in a situation where if you can bring a star in, suddenly now, you know, you have a plethora of assets that you can trade and any really direction that you can actually go in. So I like the coach. I like the younger players. I like the potential of the team. And I'm just, as a fan, realistic with what we are. And I'm going to watch for more development than wins this year.
All right. Shout out to John. Thank you very much. Av, you heard all the stakeholders or the their takes, their thoughts on what they saw in preseason game number one. Anything else you'd like to add or whatever you have not said? And then I'll go after that, and then you can lead the dialogue. Go ahead.
Well, I know Dom Chandler and Mr. Live all chimed in on the on Moutier not being able to finish at the rim. I think that's just pretty much a little bit of – I don't know if it's fear, but he does go to the rim pretty weak. It's like he doesn't do it with confidence. He can drive with confidence, but once he starts, you know, go for a floater or a layup, it's for some reason he just goes way too weak. And that's something that anyone who's ever played any kind of schoolyard ball would know that. You have to come to the hole strong and you know, you have to know what you're doing. So since he doesn't have a shot, I think that he needs to learn to wither that fear away and go up strong. I don't know what his problem is, to be honest. Maybe it's just, you know, the years of being, you know, playing in the Euro League and whatnot. But time will tell if Fizdale actually gets him right, as he said in his opening presser. Other things that I didn't like is, you know, I know that the Knicks are trying to fix. I know Fizdale wants to fix the fact that, you know, the Knicks were among the last place teams to, you know, in number of 3 points attempted. And the thing is, it's like you just kind of gave Tim Hardaway Jr. a free creative license to, you know, to chuck more shots than he already does, which is something that I think that, you know, that needs to be addressed. I think that they don't need to take more threes. They just need to take more, you know, more open and calculated threes. They can't just, you know, run the open floor and check up a three wide open with nobody underneath them when the lane is free open for, you know, for the taking. Those are kind of things. I did like the fact that they did get up and down a lot quicker. You know, as the Sim mentioned, you know, 24 fast break points is a step in the right direction. It is preseason, but it is still a step in the right direction. You know, when you talk about a team that averaged maybe, you know, less than 10, you know, a night or less than 15 a night, 24 is a step in a definite direction. the right direction. Another thing that, of course, it's the first, you know, it's the first game, so there was a lot of turnovers. I'm not going to, you know, kill them on that yet, especially at the points off turnovers. But the fouls were called evenly on both sides. There were a couple of ticky tack fouls that they were made. There were a couple of hard ones that were missed. But you know, the refs are going to be the refs regardless of what time of the year it is. I guess my biggest question to all the stakeholders going around and to you as well, Steve, does Ron Baker have a spot on this team? In reality, he has his contract. He just came off of shoulder surgery and that situation. Given that Courtney Lee didn't play in the game, he saw some minutes, but does he have an actual role on this team going forward?
You stole my thunder, Ad. I was going to actually comment on Courtney Lee. Not a lot of time. We need to trade him. We need to get rid of him and make a room for like Alonzo Trier, man. I think that's where you make your roster spot. Ship Lee. I like Lee, but this is a youth movement right now. We have – somebody said it earlier. I don't remember which stakeholder. But if you really think about it, with building at the core, Trier, Robinson, Knox, Azonja for 1 year, and who knows how this will go. You have a nice little core. You could really work with a lot of these guys who've kind of been, under 4 years of play. So it may not even be about Ron Baker. It may be about somebody who's on the bench taking up a roster spot like Courtney Lee. You didn't even get to see him. I don't even remember him playing. You said he played. He may have played in the second half. He definitely didn't play in the first half.
No, he didn't play. He missed the game due to neck problems.
Okay, but regardless, injury or not, man, as much as I do like Lee, we need to take the step in the right direction. I think we're all on the same page when it comes to Trier, man. I've been a fan of Trier, and I've said it all season, even the fact that the way he played at Arizona, and he's really a first-round talent, maybe mid to late first-round type of talent because of the PED situation he had in college. That's why his stock dropped, and we picked him up just kind of like Mitchell Robinson. I'm with you guys on Moutier. For some reason, he cannot make layups. Chandler mentioned it. Mr. Live mentioned it. It's something about that. But I like the fact they did go to the 10 a lot, or they try to go to the 10 as early, often as possible. I really, really love that about a lot of those players. You saw Burke do that a lot in the second quarter, get to the rim. He was kind of quiet in the first quarter, but he started to get to the rim as best as he could. He had a nice one-on-one as the shot clock was going in the corner, made a nice jumper. We talked about the fast break points. Sim brought that up, and a lot of you guys did bring that up. What I like was Cantor was running the floor. I don't know if you guys remember that play in the second quarter. He ran the floor, got a nice pass from Hardaway Jr. and made a layup. We didn't see a lot of that from Cantor last year, and you could see him hustling up the court. Other things, I was really keeping my eye on Kevin Knox because – he settled down pretty nicely. The first couple of possessions on defense, he had to chase around Otto Porter. Otto Porter made a couple of jumpers. But the closeout defense is still a work in progress. We saw a little bit of that. And it's really hard for me to kill the Knicks on interior points from the Wizards when you know you got to go up against a John Wall. That's really a tough assignment. It's really hard for me to criticize our defense where Wall could get to the lane as much or often as possible because I don't think – there's not too many guards in this league that could get deep in the paint like a John Wall, maybe a Kyrie Irving or somebody like that. So it's really hard for me to critique the Knicks when it came to interior defense. But I like your points about Robinson, man. He really settled down against Mahimi. He got some secure offensive rebounds, defensive rebounds. We saw Vonleh in the fourth quarter. I don't know anything else I could add to what everybody else has said. I mean, I like the fact that the body language from the head coach. And I do have an issue with Frank Ntilikina still passing. I know it's the second year. He's only 19, 20, whatever it is. He did have the nice floater in the second quarter. Then he had the same opportunity with while in the paint. He passed it up to Kevin Knox on the wing where he could have took the shot. He missed a jumper in the corner. So that's my little knocks on him. But, Av, if you want to ask that question one more time, go back to Dominic and get his thoughts on a roster spot for – who is it? For Trier, or is it Ron Baker, you said? Ron Baker, I think.
Ron Baker.
Okay.
Dom, do you think that Ron Baker still has a spot on this team, or should he still have one?
Well, should he still have one? That may be based on the type of contract he had. I know we went over this last year. you know, does he have a guaranteed contract, this contract, that contract? But, you know, Steve, I think, brought up a good point about Lee, who, you know, I like Courtney Lee, but if he's not going to be a part of the mix, that frees up a spot if you're going to trade him for a pick. Because if you trade him for a player, then that player is going to take up the spot. So that's it's a tough situation. I don't, again, guys, I don't know Baker's, you know, makeup in his contract. You know, is he guaranteed a spot? Is, you know, his contract guaranteed that he's got to be in the big leagues and can't go to the G League? I don't understand that. But the good thing about it is, even if he's on the team, I'm pretty sure his contract isn't that long. And to just touch on what Mr. Live and my main man, Sim, with the Robinson thing, you know, he's right. We got to stop looking at he's this age. He don't have – he has talent. That's the thing. His age will catch up with his talent, or his talent will catch up with his age. And the fast break points, we all been beating this to death. And even that being said, 24 points out of 124 points scored, we still got to do better in that aspect. But on the point with Baker, Steve, Knickerbocker Ave, somebody would have to explain the schematics of his contract to me. I mean, unless they could trade him, you know, and get something back. But I keep thinking if we trade a player and we're not trading them straight up for a pick, that we got another player taking up a roster spot. So that's a tough call, guys.
What's his last year of his contract? Ron Baker, after this season, will be a free – he'll be a free agent.
Yeah,
that's Ron Baker's situation. He's on the two. He was on the two-year deal. That was a Phil Jackson contract. So,
was it really? I thought he was.
So this is last year anyway.
Fired.
Huh?
I thought that Baker signing was after Phil was fired.
Oh, it was close, man. Oh, Mills. It was Mills. I'm sorry. It was Mills.
It was a Mills.
It wasn't Perry though. But it was Mills. It was after Jackson. You're right. I'm sorry about that. All right. Anything else you'd like to add, Dom, or are you good?
I'm good, Steve. Thanks.
Real quick, Avin, let me chime in real quick. One thing I did like, I forgot to say, because you guys all made great points. The Knicks got to the line early and often in that first half, 15 out of 24. They attacked. That was something we were missing last year. I know it's only one game, but they went to the line often. I loved it. But Mitchell Robinson definitely got to work on that free throw, buddy, man. He's going to get hacked a lot.
I definitely agree.
I think Chandler's next. If you same question for Chandler, or if you got a different question, go ahead, fire away and ask for Chandler.
Yeah, I definitely agree with the free throws. I like that they got to the line lock record. So Chandler, my question to you, same as everyone else, do you think that Ron Baker still has a role on this team? If not, why? Or you know, do you agree with everyone else with Steve and Dom about the Courtney Lee situation?
Well, Courtney Lee's already has been leaked out there that he wants to go because he doesn't want to be in a rebuilding situation. I don't have a problem with him leaving. You know, I'm not a Courtney Lee fan. I think Courtney Lee does need to be traded for a draft pick. Unfortunately, last year when they tried to move him, there were no takers. So I don't know if you can move him. Ron Baker has no role on this team. Ron Baker has no place on this team. I get people. I don't even get why anybody likes Ron Baker. He's an okay player, but listen, he shouldn't be in anybody's starting rotation. And I'm talking about he shouldn't be the last guy off the bench. He should always be deactivated. So to me, he has no role. Unfortunately, with that guaranteed money, I think he's gonna be on this team. And I think he'll spend a lot of time in dress clothes. You know what I'm saying? Sitting there looking in a nice suit. But to me, Ron Baker should be just, you know what, eat the money. Eat the money. I don't care. Ron Baker should not be on this team. I think Trier should be on this starting. Now, I know he may not get as much time, and there's going to be some games where maybe he doesn't play, but I think Alonzo Trier clearly has more talent and more ability than Ron Baker. I think he has the ability to impact the game more than Ron Baker. So, for me, Courtney Lee, yes, needs to go, and I think Ron Baker should not be on this team, but I think he will because of that money.
All right. I have a question
Steve.
Yeah, Don. Yeah.
Can I step in real quick? I'm reading ESPN.com. This is his last year, and his contract includes a no-trade clause.
Oh, shit.
Oh, wow.
How did he pull that off?
Thanks.
Are you serious?
I'm sorry, guys. I just read it while Chandler was talking.
Unbelievable. I didn't know that. I didn't know that part. Wow. Thank you very much, Dominic. Mr. Live, got a question for Mr. Live. Same question or different question for Mr. Live?
Well, I guess that kind of like answers the question right there. I don't think we should ask the Ron Baker question anymore. Brother, wow. Mr. Live.
You.
Since we're all kind of high on Alonzo Trier, who would you say would be the odd man out so that Trier can pick up a roster spot?
That's a great question. Dom kind of stole my thunder. I knew he had a no trade clause, and I knew he was making about 4.5 this year. You know what I'm saying? Like, and really, you know what I'm saying? Since Cat's got the Google on, see who signs him, because I'm sure he was. I always thought he was a Phil acquisition, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was Mills, because Mills is an idiot too. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, if somebody could answer that, you know, after this, I would appreciate it. But as far as who got spots, I got to go back to Chandler. Like, it's pathetic how someone of his caliber always stays in. It's like D'Antoni. It's like these people stay in the league for what? You understand what I'm saying? After he got clotheslined, he should have been. Just like the cat from France. You understand what I'm saying? Like, out of here. Just done. You know what I'm saying? On somebody's poster, and that's it. But again, aside from his no-trade clause, you know what I'm saying? It's Dobson has two years left. Not expensive, 2 years. Okay, so I believe him, Dobson, again, Courtney V, there's three spots that are all unnecessarily played by people out of position. So I believe if let's say, you know, with Trier, he got the two-way joint, and he can only play 40, he can only be in the NBA 45 days before the All-Star break. So let's say hypothetically Fizdale uses all 45 days and gives and does like Dom says and has that man or Chandler, I'm sorry, has that man on the bench and some nice Ferragamo while Trier is killing himself for $75,000 for this season. You know, who's the odd man out after? You know what I'm saying? Because you're going to have to, you know what I'm saying, make a choice and sign him like you signed Burke to maybe a non-guaranteed situation. Okay, that for me, that's Dobson. Dobson is the dude that's out. Dobson, I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying? That's the guy that's out. You know what I'm saying? Because I mean, he looked a little shaky coming in last night, but then he got his feet up under him and did a pretty good job. But is he better than Trier? Is he better than Tim Hardaway Jr.? Is he better than any guard? You understand what I'm saying? Coming out of that rotation, would he supplant Frankie? Because again, you're talking to a cat who believes Frankie should be, and Frankie Headlights should be in the G League. He's not supposed to be having you getting 20-25 minutes on nobody's squad. I don't care what you said, and I'm the type that say Frank could be the next Tony Allen. But that's 2 years from now. That's 2 years from now. That man, every time I see him, I see my son. Okay, he's young and he's not a phenom. He's not a Garnett or a Kobe. You understand what I'm saying? He's not them guys, you know, coming out of high school and being physically and mentally. You know what I'm saying? If he could go as hard as Moutier to the basket, I probably wouldn't even be talking right now. You understand what I'm saying? But that spot, unfortunately, the way the contracts are set up, Dobson is going to be an odd man out because I don't think they're just going to let Courtney Lee go like that. Not, you know what I'm saying? Somebody going to take him, and the Knicks is going to get what? Two second rounders for him? A second rounder for him? I don't know if that's going to happen. It should happen, you know, because, again, I like Courtney Lee, but, you know, with the youth movement going on, man, I think that time is better served with Trier and I mean, even Dobson, you know what I'm saying, need that time a little bit more than Courtney Lee do on this squad. So, you know, again, I believe Dobson is the odd man out, not Baker, because that 4.5 is crazy. and he got the mellow contract. How he got that, I do not know, but Baker got the mellow contract, so I don't think he's out.
Well, I just double checked that contract status. Phil Jackson was released June 28th. That contract was signed on July 11th. So that was definitely a Steve Mills blunder move.
Oh, man, Mills is
within the same week, he then again signed Tim Hardaway Jr. to that monstrous contract that he got. So,
that was Mills, yeah.
Yeah,
that was
Mills.
All Steve Mills.
Wow, Mills is a bad boy, boy.
Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to add, Avenue? Any other questions you have, Knickerbocker, or any statements or comments from your perspective on this game? I know that the other game is on the way. Anything else you'd like to add, man? And then I'll go in.
Do we not still have John and the Sim on the line anymore?
They dropped or they hung up.
They dropped. All right. So I don't like the idea of getting rid of Dotson. Mr. Live, I'm sorry. Dotson to me showed me that he can definitely contribute. What he was able to do in that overtime period, I think he scored 11 of his 14 points in that overtime period. He was the one that kind of like was the spark plug, to lead that overtime period. I know it's only one game, it's preseason, so you're probably going still 70%, but you know that's nothing to sneeze at, especially in a game time situation. Had this been like a regular season game. The Courtney Lee situation about, you know, trading him for a pick. I don't know anybody who's any team that's willing to trade him for a first round pick, unless it's like a first round pick like way down later down the line. Maybe the Clippers might be interested in him or something, or I'm not even sure. But aside from that, I mean, I would say that Courtney Lee is should be the odd man out, and the second he gets back, they should kind of like show him off and put him out on the market and see what kind of bites that Mills and Perry get. I mean, you know, I don't knock Courtney Lee. He's a decent player. The thing is that over the last few years, you know, that he's been a Knick, he's been lost in the offense. He hasn't really shown me enough of, you know, involvement in the offense. Defensively, he's slightly above average, and it's very slightly. But aside from that, I mean, you know, his shots can be inconsistent as well, and he sometimes disappears. So that's a big reason why I would really say that Courtney Lee should be the odd man out. It shouldn't be Dotson because it's movement. Ron Baker, I mean, the Knicks can just, I don't know. They still haven't released Joe Kim Noah, and they're talking about stretching, $35 million over the next 5 years. But they can easily just waive Ron Baker and let that 4.5 left, slip on the side, and, you know, he can lose that no trade. Those are kind of things that I kind of see. Aside from that, you know, it's one game. Keep up the defensive intensity and let's see how they do against Brooklyn tonight. If you happen to be channel surfing between TBS and MSG Network tonight.
All right, you know what, guys? I have a question for all you guys, but Avi, if you have another question for Dominic and Mr. Live and Chandler as well, feel free to add on to my question. But I want to, the game tonight is the same starting line versus the Wizards, and David Fizdo kind of echoed, all five starting positions is up for grabs, per se. But we heard a lot of that lip service in one of those press conferences that Knox is going to be a three, but where in the preseason I'm watching him be a pretty much being a pseudo four, because if Lance Thomas is in the same lineup, Lance Thomas is your pure three. So Kevin Knox, by default, is your four. So is this the lip service that we're seeing that he's backtracking on, or we still have a couple more preseason games to go? Is this because of the way the players, the personnel is, we're kind of lodged in at certain positions like the two and the three that you probably have to play Knox at the four? Are you comfortable with him at the four? That's kind of my question for all you guys. Existence. And I see a Knicks Omni fan in the crowd, by the way. Shout out to Knicks Omni, Knicks Omni in the crowd at Barclays. That's my question for all the stakeholders. If you have another question for the stakeholders, feel fire away.
No, I'm good. Start off with Dom real quick.
Dom, are you comfortable? You rather go big, or you want to go more younger, smaller and athletic? Well, I would say smaller, but pseudo athletic with this three and the four as well. How would you like your line to be based off this personnel, what you saw on Monday, and then continue on and go back to Chandler?
Well, more athletic, because this is the realm the NBA is in. You're not seeing these, you know, as you would say, Steve, pseudo big guys. This is what it is. I mean, it's going to be a good thing it's preseason, a good thing Porzingis ain't playing. Because then you wouldn't even have got to look at Knox playing the four. I mean, he's big enough to play the four. He's athletic enough to run the court. So he gives you the best, you know, the best of both worlds. And again, it's preseason, guys. So he's not, you know, this isn't anything locked in stone. The only thing I'm worried about, guys, and I'll move on to Chandler, is when are we going to see a foundation? Like, I know you play but so many preseason games. When are we going to see, okay, Chandler, this is our starting five? That's what I'm waiting to see. You know, all of this mixing and matching, I understand he's doing it. It's preseason, trying to get a feel. But come on, man, you're a coach. You know these guys' histories. You know where they play, how they play in that position. And the Courtney Lee thing, guys, I hate to always be the defender of Courtney Lee. The guy's almost a career three-point shooter in his whole career. His quagmire began when he came to the Knicks, because the Knicks had nobody to get him the ball. And his first year on the Knicks, he was too busy guarding the point guard because Derrick Rose and nobody else could do it. So the Knicks might be able to get a little value back for Courtney Lee, because every team's doing that now. They want perimeter shooters. Unfortunately, the Knicks never used Courtney Lee right. But what I want to see from Fizdale is the same thing me and Chandler have been talking about for months now. What's your plan? You know, you got so many preseason games. Let's see the plan. Who's going to be the starting five? We can't go into the season thinking everybody's going to get 18 minutes. So that's all I'm looking for from here out, guys.
All right. Ev, you bring that to Chandler? Same question, or?
Yeah, go ahead, dude.
Yeah. Chandler, the lineup, are you comfortable? Are you cool with this lineup that Fizdo has run out for the second straight night? Or is something you would like to go with? Rotations you would like to see based off our personnel after looking at game one?
I didn't like the lineup he ran out there. That lineup is going to get destroyed on the boards. Who's rebounding in that lineup, honestly? Who's rebounding? Nobody. I don't like it. I don't want to see Knox at the four. I want to see Knox at the three. I don't want to see Moutier on a freaking court, be quite honest with you. I don't care about his assists. I don't want to see him on the court. I don't like that lineup. To me, honestly, I think your best lineup, if you have to play Cantor, and I think we all understand that Cantor is going to start and play, regardless of this nonsense about everybody's fighting for their spot. We understand that Cantor and Tim Hardaway Jr. are locks to play. I think Trey Burke pretty much is a lock to play. That's three of your five right there. I think if Robinson continues progress and impress, I honestly think you can play Mitchell Robinson at the four. You can have Knox at the three. And then all you got to do is decide on who your two guard is. That lineup, to me, can rebound. The lineup he's running out there, or even if you go Hazonia at the four, that lineup is going to get destroyed on the boards. They're going to get destroyed on the boards. I watched it with that lineup last night, where the long rebounds kept going to the other team, because it's not a lot of guys out there who actually can rebound well. Knox can try to, but again, Knox at the three will rebound well. Knox at the four, that's not, you know what I'm saying? You don't want him trying to get down there to rebound, because then you're taking away from what his skill set says he can do, which is what? Score the ball for you, play perimeter defense. If he's playing perimeter defense, he can't get back the rebound. So I don't like the lineup. And honestly, I think Fizdale has his 10 players set. I think he's playing games. I think he's full of crap with that, like I said, with the whole everybody fight for a spot thing. If that's the lineup he's going to keep running out there, I'm not a fan of that at all, because you are not going to rebound well. And we all understand that there's teams in this league that crash the boards. We're going to get killed with that lineup. So he needs to make an adjustment. To me, Knox needs to be the three, and you need a body out there who's going to rebound at the four. And for me, that's Mitchell Robinson. I don't want to see Lance Thomas out there, because we know Lance Thomas disappears in games. Lance Thomas might be a good dude, but Lance Thomas, we know what Lance Thomas is. We know what he is. So don't try to tell me that he's going to suddenly become something different. We know what he is. I don't like this lineup, man. And you know, like Dom said, man, show me who your real starting five are. If this is your real starting five, I kind of got a problem with it.
All right. Mr. Live, same question for you with the lineup. Are you cool with this lineup for the second straight preseason game? Any adjustments that you would like to make, or even on the rotations coming off the bench? What's your thoughts?
Right. So everything that Chandler said, everything, except maybe Moutier, you understand what I'm saying? I'm not you know what? Yeah, that Moutier too. What I saw was him play better yesterday, or the day before yesterday. I saw him play better, but starting lineup, you know, 1, 2, and 3 is a lot. You know what I'm saying? That's Burke. That's Hardaway. That's Knox. I don't want to see Knox at the four either. He will get molested, especially during a full 82 game season. He will get crushed. Kanta, I am the biggest hater of Kanta. I cannot stand Kanta. Kanta is the most empty 15-8, 15-9, double-double, whatever. He is horrible. You know, if I had a choice, I would actually take a risk and start Hazonia at the four and Robinson at the five. You know, Hazonia is at least a little faster than Kanta on the perimeter. He's just as bad, you know. So if I could maybe take that back and maybe start Vonleh out of default, because there's nobody else really that can play that four spot, you know, except that. And this is only for defensive purposes. And, you know, the other day we got molested on the boards. So Lance is not going to become this 8-9 rebound a game guy. Kanta rebounds for himself. You understand what I'm saying? So after his little 11-12 rebounds, he's done. Like, he's finished. You know, so he'll never become a 15-16 rebound guy. You know, so I think Vonleh needs to get a little burn at that four, because that's why you got him. What did you get him for? Except to spell KP, you know, in this year that most definitely you're not gonna bring him back after the All Star break. So, you know, play that man now, and you know, and then it all goes in for me in the question of, are you trying to win? Because if you're trying to win, then you would do things like say later for Kanta, and play somebody who would actually produce in that situation, you know, or draft or pick. You know what I'm saying? Hicks didn't look too bad. You know what I'm saying? You know, to play somebody, we already know what Kanta is. We already know what Kanta is going to bring. He's definitely a lock. I got to agree, he's a lock because of his contract, just like the Hardaway is. You understand what I'm saying? But if it's about development, then you want to see Hazonia. You want to see Vonleh. You know what I'm saying? So you play them guys, you know? If I was to make a change, Knox at the three, Vonleh at the four, Robinson at the five. Let them guys run. Let them get their burn. You understand what I'm saying? You know, let them get their little 25, 30 minutes a game. You know, and you take the bench. And if you trying to win, play Courtney Lee. Play Courtney Lee at, coming off the bench. You know what I'm saying? You know, play him and Dotson. You know what I'm saying? I think that the cat from California is absolutely right. I mean, you know, I can't disagree with him about not having Dotson over whatever, him being the keeper. I don't, you know, I believe he's a keeper. It's just that, you know, with the contractual situation, I don't think that's going to happen. But, again, play Courtney Lee, you know what I'm saying, at that two spot coming off the bench. You know? I mean, you know, leave Frank on, you know what I'm saying, send Frank to the G League and bring T.A. up. Let him get his spot. So, I'm over talking. You know what I'm saying? That's my little five right there. You know what I'm saying? Play Vonleh at that four. Play Robinson at the five.
All right. Yo, Ab, shout out to Mr. Live. Yo, Ab, we got about a couple more minutes left. If you want to chime in real quick, and then we go around quickly for final thoughts, and we'll wrap it up. Ab, anything else you'd like to add before we go back to Don for final thoughts?
Nothing I really like to add. Me personally, the kind of lineup I want to see is just the one that works. The one that works for that given time, because, you know, the game dictates pretty much, you know, how things will go. I just want the Knicks to be able to have teams react to them as opposed to they having to react to them, to the opposition, as much as they did last year, because they played all kinds of different paces. It was mostly slow, but it wasn't their pace. They need to come and dictate their own pace. So whatever lineup works at that given moment, that's the one that I want. I'm not particular about who plays what position. It really doesn't matter. But let's go around for final thoughts, Steve.
All right, final thoughts. Dom, can you give us about 30 to 45 seconds as we cramped on time, Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum, NBA preseason action episode. Dominic, your final thoughts. Donato DP.
I hope the Knicks do well tonight, and I truly apologize to my Knicks because in about 9 minutes they're going to be playing in the Bronx, so we'll leave it there for a minute.
All right, Dominic, man, thank you very much. Donato DP. Chandler, final thoughts. Knight Chandler 7 on Twitter. Final thoughts.
Hope the Knicks do well. I'll watch it on MSG Go, but it's about to be Yankee time, baby.
Understood, bro. Knight Chandler 7, Chandler Knight on Instagram as well, and of course the Gear Drift podcast on Spreaker, man. Shout out to Chandler. Thank you very much. Mr. Lau, your final thoughts.
Listen, go Knicks, man. Let's get better. Let's get more organized. You know what I'm saying? Let's do it, man. Let's do it.
All right. Shout out to Mr. Live. Thank you very much, brother. And of course, Knickerbocker Avenue. Any news or updates, info you want to share? And of course, your final thoughts as well.
Final thought is go Yankees. Let's take care of business. I'm catching a little bit of the first quarter of currently right now from Brooklyn. It doesn't look too good as we speak, but we'll see how things turn out. And OmniFan, theomnifan.com, tickets still available. De La Quinta just went for a dunk. Ain't that something? I have to say that.
That's funny.
There's still tickets available for the Suite Life. You know, for opening night, Knicks versus the Hawks. And the Battle of the Burrows preseason, Knicks against these Brooklyn Nets at Madison Square Garden. You know, theomnifan.com is where you can find them. As always, Knickerbocker Ave on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Signing out, Bleed Blue, Sangre Azul, all day, every day. Go Yankees. Let's take care of business at the Bronx.
Man, that'd be awesome if they could do that, man. For Dominic Chandler, Mr. Live, Sim, John on the left coast, Knickerbocker Avenue, our source for the streets for the New York Knicks. Of course, this episode is going to be on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps. And, of course, you can stream it live right from your smartphone on BleedBlueShow.com. And, Av, great episode. We'll be back next Wednesday to look into the Knicks further along in this NBA preseason action before the following week as the start of the regular season. Sangre Azul, ladies and gentlemen. Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.